Great. Well, it is great to be here. Before I start my message, I just thought I'd have a quick quiz. So, there is a bar of chocolate. Bribery and corruption works every time. To the person who can shout out who this is in the next 10, 15 seconds. Come on, does anybody know who this man is? This is not... Margie knows. No, you can't. If nobody can tell me who this man is, then I keep a bar of chocolate and my wife and son will be very happy. Come on. Sorry? Who? No, he's not my dad. No. I'll tell you who he is. This man, sorry, chocolate's gone. I'm getting a bit worried. This man and the next man is not just two random people that I thought I'd put up on pictures. You know, it's not Joe Bloggs. These two men are giants in the faith of prayer. And I just want to encourage you to, if you don't know, this man's name is called John G. Lake. You might have heard him. Oh, you should have said. And, well, there we go. Google him. His book, Adventures in God, will astound you. He is a giant. He prayed for over 10,000 people, saw many, many miraculous healings, and we're talking over 100 years ago. Google him, John G. Lake, an amazing man of God. Well, anybody have any clue who this man is? Sorry? Well done. This man is called John Hyde. He was a missionary to India. And let me just pray, speak out. This is his book, Praying Hyde. It says, they called him the man who never sleeps. Oh, that's just amazing. Seeing him pray for 30 days and nights, or 10 days on end, or remain on his knees for 36 hours without moving. Fellow workers beheld him first in awe, then disgust, finally to be filled with admiration for this apostle of intercession, and to sit at his feet as disciples. John Hyde taught us that prayer prevails, that prayer is still the Christian's most powerful instrument in India, in America, in all the world. Again, this man lived over 100 years ago. I have read something of these men, and I'd encourage you to do the same. And you just stand in awe of men willing to give their lives to prayer and to seeking God. You know, 2 weeks ago, Phil started our new series of Up, In and Out, looking up at our relationship with God, looking in at our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and looking out our relationship outside of the church. And today, I have the privilege of looking up, of being connected in prayer. And I'm wanting to look at one of the most familiar scriptures that I'm sure that you will all have encountered many, many times. It's our passage today is from Matthew 6, and it's where we derive the Lord's Prayer. But my prayer this morning is that as we look at this passage and that of Luke 11, that we would be changed by it. That we would go out of here different in somehow, that we would not be the same. That might sound like a big ask, but one thing I've learned as I've looked at this subject is that God loves big prayers. He's an outrageous God who loves outrageous requests. And we'll come on to that this morning. And if you can get deep into the message of what Jesus said, how we should pray, it will transform your life. If these men could spend 36 hours or 30 days in prayer, then there are depths of prayer that I, sadly, have not even encountered yet. There is so much more for us in our relationship with God. So let me just pray. Father, I pray that as we start this message, Lord, I pray that you would impart it into our hearts, that somehow you would cause us to fall more in love with you. That like Celia's picture, that we would run to you. Run onto your into your arms to sit before you, to sit on your lap and talk to you. Father, will you do a work in our hearts, Lord, I pray. Amen. So what I'd like to do is look at being connected in prayer. I'd like to look at Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15. And then I'd like to look at the new initiative that is starting today called Try Praying. And that is an initiative where there is a book that is like a 7-day prayer, Bible study notes. And the aim is that everyone, we've got one of these books for everybody here, and I'd request you to take one as we go out. There's some for the youth. To take one and pray and read it over the next 7 days and then lose the booklet, i.e. give it away to somebody else and just say, our church is doing this initiative of called Try Praying. Can I ask you to take this booklet and read through it? That's it. Simple. So, let's go back and look at being connected in prayer. And let me read Matthew 6, verse 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins or debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. How many times have we prayed that prayer? If I had a pound for every time I prayed that prayer, I think I'd be a very wealthy man and woman, or so would you. But yet that prayer can become so familiar that we lose the absolute treasure that it contains. And so, being connected in prayer. You know, when you look at the two men that we looked at the beginning, you realize how much more there is in prayer than we may have encountered. Praying, you might think, is easy. And in one sense, it is. How many times have we all prayed that ubiquitous prayer when something happens? God, was that Penny? Penny's in the house. Yes. That I've prayed that prayer more times than I can count. And you know, God hears that prayer. You know, one time I can remember praying that prayer when I was a student. I was flying back from Israel in my gap year, and I was flying into London. The plane was delayed, arriving into London in the middle of the night. No one was there to pick me up. And I didn't want to spend the night on the floor of an airport. So I prayed that prayer, God, help. We got on the plane. The plane taxied for 10 yards, then stopped. Over the tannoy, it came, right, everybody off the plane, and they took us to a 5-star hotel. Come on. Come on, Lord. And what happened is the plane had taxied into a ground generator underneath the nose cone. Pilot didn't see it, damaged the nose cone. The plane wasn't going anywhere for 24 hours. Now, you know, I can't say I was very sorry for the other passengers, because I felt like God had answered my prayer. But, you know, I got on the plane in the morning and flew off, and there we go. You know, so God is gracious. He hears those prayers, even the shortest ones of help, God. There are times in your life when you just don't know what to pray, and all you can do is say help. And God is a loving Father. But you know, as we look at this Lord's Prayer in Matthew 5, there is so much more. This is a prayer for us engaging with God. This is a prayer, like Celia said, of coming into God's presence, Him opening His arms, putting His arms around us, and us encountering the Lord. You know, in Luke 11, get there, just before we go through the same version of the Lord's Prayer, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Teach us how to pray. They must have been listening to Jesus as he was praying, and they must have been absolutely astounded at the prayer that Jesus prayed to his Father. You know, this was amazing. They just must have stood back in awe. You know, this guy knows God. He doesn't ramble. He doesn't repeat himself. He doesn't fall asleep, which the disciples did. He isn't distracted. You know, he has an amazing relationship with the Father. We need this. And so the disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, if you read Luke 10, Luke 10 is where Jesus has sent the 72 out, and they had just done some amazing ministry. They'd seen the demons cast out. They'd seen healings. They'd seen all sorts. They rejoiced that God in heaven heard them. But you'd have thought that Jesus might have given them the tools before he sent them out. And so they already had encountered the life and the Spirit of God. And Jesus in Luke 11 is teaching them how to pray. So this is a journey. It's a journey for each of us, for you and for me. It's a lifelong journey. So if you think you know how to pray, then can I suggest that you go back to God and spend some more time with him? And I'm sure that he'll reveal more of himself to you. I need to learn how to pray. I really do. I think, you know, I look at these men and women and that have plumbed greater depths, and it encourages me to spend more time with the Lord. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, acknowledged that he was distracted from prayer by a fly buzzing around him. That's how easy he was distracted from prayer. How often we might get distracted by our kids or by our, you know, lunch, what we're going to have, by those thoughts that creep into our brains when we try and sit down. You know, we have an adversary that will try and distract us. I tried to sit down for some quality time at least twice this past week, and you'd be amazed how many crises and distractions come up. You know, this is something that we need to be intentional about. Being connected in prayer is about intimacy with God. It's about learning to trust in greater measure. It's increasing in love for the one who loves you. And it's about spending time in fellowship with the Father, and it's about bringing heaven to earth in your and my life. In short, prayer changes things. He changes you and I. As we bring our agenda to God, He brings His. Thank you, Lord. I need your agenda. You know, almost 40 years ago, I got saved through a prayer as I was walking down the street. And as I reflected on this talk, I realized that the most intimate times that I have had with God as I walked with Him and talked to Him, i.e. in prayer. You know, we start our relationship with God in prayer, and somehow, sometimes we can find that our prayer life gets a little bit relegated. And I just want to encourage you this morning that actually we need to put it back front and center. That we start our relationship with God in prayer. And if we think that it can, you know, what am I saying? We need to carry on in prayer. You know, being connected with God is about a relationship with Him. You know, in Matthew it says, God knows what we need before we ask. How amazing is that? It's not about the fancy words. It's not about being an eloquent speaker. It's about sharing life with the Father who loves you so that He can put His life into you. We are transformed by prayer. If you want to become more like Jesus, then you need to spend more time with Him. He will transform you as He speaks to you, as He gives you His life, as He shows you His ways. He will show you a horizon that you have never, ever seen before. He will show you things that He wants you involved in, that He will reveal and do in your life. He wants to show you these things, and you can see them over there, and then you need to go and get it. You know, the people who pray change the world around us. You know, God is after you. He's after all of you. In our men's group the other day, somebody asked me, well, do you pray about where you're going on holiday? You know, almost like, do you pray about trivial things? And my response was, of course I do. If you want God involved in every part of your life, you need to talk to Him about every part of your life. You know, we pray about our family, those we hold dear, those that are sick. We lift them before God, and God wants to talk to us about it. Being connected to God is about hearing His voice, allowing Him to whisper to you. In the PA, we have, I don't know whether they've got it here this morning, I don't know whether Bob had it. They have what's called a whisper mic, don't they? Where's Andy? A whisper mic is so that somebody at the back can talk to these guys at the front without you hearing everything. And so they can whisper to the worship leader. They can tell him, oh, maybe I shouldn't have told you that, really. I don't know. You know, we don't have anything, you know, it's just the, but that whisper mic, we want to allow God to be like that for us. Allow Him to whisper things into your ears, to give you pictures, to show you what you should be doing. Let Him do that. And the way that you learn to hear His voice is to spend time in His presence, in prayer. Ask Him, teach me how to pray. You know, I heard a great quote the other day that says, people can resist your words, but they have no defense against your prayers. Prayer changes things. Like Reinhard Bonnke, who first went to Africa and prayed for a million souls. What a big prayer. What an outrageous prayer. like praying John Hyde, who prayed for a year that God would give him two new converts every day for a year. And at the end of the year, what happened? He'd seen that many people come through. So the next year, I think he doubled it. You know, God is amazing God. So, what I'd like to do now is quickly look at Matthew verse 6 and also Luke 11 to encourage us in prayer. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, say. And this prayer gives us the basis on which we approach the throne, the how we approach the throne, and getting our priorities straight. I couldn't quite get the last one to kind of have the same sort of ring, but I thought priorities was where we were. The basis on which we approach the throne, the how, and basically how we get our priorities straight. Okay, so the basis on which we approach the throne is as our Father in heaven. Chris prayed it this morning. We have a God who is our Father. Just think about that for a minute. You know, the Jews knew God as Yahweh, Jehovah, the I Am, the Elohim, the Mighty One, Adonai, the Lord or Master. The Old Testament contains many, many names of God, and you can look through them all to see the character of God. But it was Jesus who joined the dots and called him Father. In Exodus 4:22, God called Israel his firstborn, and yet they never made the connection. They knew God as an awesome, mighty God, the I Am, but they didn't know him as Father. Having said that, Moses talked with God and his face radiated. And what an amazing picture for us of how we can approach God, how we can approach him as Father, and our lives will radiate his presence. You won't be able to put your finger on it, but those around you will. They'll know there's something different in you. You know, John 1 verse 12 says, to all who receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 17:24, Jesus prays that the Father would love you and I just as the Father loved him. Just think that for a minute. You know, I like to think that I'm a good dad. I'm hoping that John will verify that. But, you know, if my kids need my ear, if they're in trouble, I'd be right there for them. And you think how much God loves you and I, that he calls, that we are adopted into his family, that he loves you and I just as he loves Jesus. That we can call him Father. Let that sink in to your heart, that you are his son and daughter. It is so important. It is so important that we understand that, that we don't feel that God is this distant God. He's not a distant God. Let him reveal to you his Father heart for you. Galatians 4 verse 4 and 5 says, we have received adoption to sonship, so we are no longer slaves, but God's children. This is the basis on which we approach God. If you approach somebody in the street and ask them for the time, they might give you, you know, might tell you the time. If you approach somebody in the street and said, oh, I like your coat, I think I'll have that, they wouldn't like it. If you approach somebody and said, oh, I think I'll have your house, you know, we don't have the basis of approaching people. But when God says that we're his son and daughter, we can approach him freely. We can ask him for all the things that you want to talk to your father about. There is nothing you can't talk to him about. He is the God of love. And that is the basis on which we approach the throne. He's not a sir. He's not a lord. He's not a your majesty. He's not a distant God. He's your and my father. You know, and that Father in heaven, he's above everything. How great is that? That God is above Brexit. He's above all my problems. He's above everything. He's the Father, our Father in heaven. That is the God that we approach and we know. So that's the basis on which we approach the throne. The how we approach the throne is through praise and worship. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed is an old English word. It means to greatly revere and honor, to treat as holy. As we approach the throne, we give God our worship. He is exalted. And I'd encourage you in your times of prayer, when you pray now, you can say, Our Father, hallowed be your name. You can say, God, thank you for my family. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be hallowed in my work. Let your name be hallowed in my family. Let your name be hallowed. I worship you. You know, this prayer is not a prayer to go through verbatim. Just stop and allow each sentence to pierce your heart and cause praise and worship and prayers to come forth. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Ruth Heflin put it like this, Praise until the spirit of worship comes. Worship until the glory comes. And then stand in the glory. We need his presence. So the basis on which we approach the throne is our Father. The way is through thanks and praise to an amazing God. And now we get our priorities straight. First priority, God, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. That is number one priority. You know, even Jesus prayed a prayer which he didn't see, well, he sort of saw the answer to, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, Father, will you take this cup from me? Not my will, but yours. He knows what it is to have a prayer that isn't answered the way that he'd necessarily like it to be answered. Not my will, but yours, he said. Getting our priorities straight. Before I look to my needs, I look to your will, God. Let your kingdom come in my school, in my family, in our church. Lord, let your will be done in this situation, whatever I'm facing. Let your kingdom come. And then, only then, we come to the three petitions. You're right, Tony. We come to the three petitions. So all the rest of this is all about God. And then we come to the three petitions for us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I generally, I need to learn how to pray. I will start with, forgive me my sins. Is that just me? Whenever I come into the presence of God, I just kind of feel like I have to get that out of the way first. You know, just in case, even if I've not done anything wrong, I just have to kind of just, that's almost like a clear the air prayer for me. But isn't it amazing, as I looked at this, I saw God, Jesus told his disciples, give us our day, our daily bread. St. Augustine, I think, talked about our needs rather than luxuries. But give us this day our daily bread was above that, almost as though God was willing for us to talk about what we needed before we confessed our sins. I can't quite get my head around that. You know, that to me shows God's love for us, that he's willing for us to put forward our needs. You know, I'm speechless that God's love for us is that great. You know, Luke 11, verse 13 says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And before that, it talks about, the persistence. Time is moving on, so I'll just... And, you know, how much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. It's almost like the gift of the Holy Spirit will provide our needs. You know, when the Holy Spirit turns up, there's healing. When the Holy Spirit turns up, there's provision. God does amazing things when his presence turns up. We think we need something, but God provides his Holy Spirit. And we need to pray that God's presence will fill our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me, fill my life, fill my church. Lord, Spirit of God, will you pour afresh on each one of us, that we would know your blessing, that you would bless people through us. You know, God doesn't want fancy words. He just wants us to draw aside and spend time with him. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. Talk to him about your daily needs. Talk to him about where you make mistakes. Talk to him about the temptations you face. He knows them all anyway. You might as well lay them all out and ask him to help you in them. Because I believe in a God who loves outrageous prayers. You know, Luke 11 talks about ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks, not some people who ask, receive. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Well, if you want a door to be opened, this isn't rocket science. You've got to knock. If you're looking for something, you've got to seek it. If you want something to be given to you, you've got to ask. You can see where I'm going with that. It's not complicated. God loves us that much, and he wants to bless us. Don't give up. John 15, verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. What an amazing, outrageous thing to say. Ask whatever you wish. We have an amazing God who wants us to pray some outrageous prayers. And he wants to meet us in it. You know, I think that this isn't easy. This takes time spending in the presence of God. Especially when we face difficulties that we have no answer for. But we have an amazing, outrageous God. Have you ever considered the story of the prodigal son for a second? That, to me, has an outrageous request. Jesus gives this story about the two sons. One son comes to the father and asks for his inheritance early. What was that father thinking? What kind of a story is this? How many of us would allow our sons to come to us and give us half our wealth to them early? Sorry, John. It's not going to happen. But Jesus gives that story as though, yep, the father does it. What was that father thinking? But that father represented God. He gave his son half of his inheritance early. Jesus said that story without, he doesn't comment on it. He just carries on. It's an outrageous request. Our father wants us to have in our inheritance early. Maybe that father wanted to see what his son was going to do with that money. Maybe he thought, this is my son, I'm proud of him. Go on, son, go into the world, see what you can do. Not realizing, maybe, that he was going to squander it all. He wanted to bless him. He wanted to see him fruitful. What an amazing father. What an outrageous request. And you know, I just want to encourage us that just to lift our eyes to God and to refocus and spend time with him, to connect with God, talk to him about everything and be intentional about it. Because if you're like me, a million and one things will fly at you for all over the time. Right, we're drawing to a close. Thank you, Andy. Right, so lastly, just give me another few minutes. I'd like to encourage you to get involved in this initiative called Try Praying. Over 30 churches and organizations across Basingstoke are getting involved in it. You'll see buses with the logo on it. You'll see banners all over town. And it starts today, and it is really, really simple. We have booklets for the youth that will get, for the kids, and we have one of these booklets for every one of you here. And I would ask for you to take one. They're on the table as you go out. Take one as you go out, and over the next 7 days, work through the prayers in this booklet. You'll see it is an amazing booklet. The prayers are brilliant. The prayers lead you into God. And then next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And from next Sunday onwards, there's no pressure, but pray about who you can give the booklet to. Just give it away. Find somebody that you can pass it to and let them start a conversation with God. And here is, and just to mention, next Sunday on the 9th of June, there's a prayer Pentecost gathering at the URC at 6:30 p.m. You can attend that if you want to. But here are three testimonies. This little book has changed my life. The aim isn't to get all your husbands weeping, ladies, but it's to get people encountering the presence of God. These are testimonies from in Scotland. And all you have to say is, my church is involved in this initiative that encourages people to pray. Can I give you this booklet to read? So let's allow God to do a work amongst us. Can I encourage you, spend time with God and pray about who you can pass this booklet to. We went out on the HOTS team yesterday. I think we got rid of we passed on at least a dozen. But, just pray about it. Thank you.